it's tough to tell, you know. It's the roller coaster ride of a reliever, you know. I thought today just, you know, I think he's probably caught in between a little bit of wanting to get back to the dominant form he showed the first month and a half or so, and just being frustrated with not getting the results, you know. So it happens. We trust the shit out of Jeff Hoffman, you know. I do, and it's easy to point blame at him. He's been on the other side of us winning a whole lot of games, so it's a tough stretch for him, but we know he'll come out of it, and we got a lot of faith in him.
Well, that was Jay's manager, John Schneider, speaking after a series loss. I mean, I can't even believe I'm saying this. A series loss to the Chicago White Sox, the worst team in the American League, the worst road team in baseball. Kevin, a series loss in which, kind of capped off by Jeff Hoffman's performance, including that error on the bouncer. It seems like we spend a lot of time talking about Jeff Hoffman lately. You know, John Schneider trusts the poop out of him. Mm-hmm. Do you?
Probably not right now, but what other choice do they have? Until Jimmy Garcia gets back, I mean, you know, everybody's yelling and screaming about Yariel Rodriguez, put him in that spot. I think Yariel's basically mastered what he's trying to get done from the fifth to the eighth inning. It's not the easiest thing, you know, to sort of revamp what he's trying to do routine-wise to get him to do, you know, the ninth inning all the time. This is sort of what it is, right? I mean, if he catches the ground ball like an athlete, you know, not like a giraffe at a watering hole where his legs are, you know, Cecil Cooper used to always say that to me when I was learning how to play first. He would run by me and say water hole, because every time that I would, you know, sort of try and catch a ground ball, because I went from center field to first base, I'd always get real straight legged. My legs would get real wide and they'd be straight as a string. And that's the first thing I thought of when I saw Hoffman going after that ball, because he's trying to get all straight legged and tag out Benintendi. When you just run over, get an athlete, you know, bend your legs a little bit and flip it to Ernie and game over. And me and Jeff don't have to come on here and go, are you guys worried about the $33 million closer? Yeah, I mean, again, are you going to sort of blame it and sort of force everybody else to change their routines to try and figure out, you know, how to make up for what the closer's not doing? I don't think you do it right now. Mm. When Jimmy gets back, gloves are off. You know, you got a guy you can sell it to Hoffman, right? You know, this guy's been around forever. He's done it before. Like, you can sort of see those two getting the bulk of whatever, you know, they're trying to get done when it comes to matching up and what, you know, sort of arm fits in that ninth inning the best. I just think, for me, you know, early in the season, he was tipping pitches. I know that for a fact. I ask around.
Hoffman was.
Absolutely. They fixed that.
Do you know how?
He's not going to tell me. No. Why would anybody tell me how? I mean, they just know there's, you know, a group of people that sort of hone in on that. And when you're struggling, that's sort of the first place you look. And, you know, again, I think it's shape of sliders has not been real good. We've seen that. The location of the fastball, at least right out the gate, right? It's the routine when he runs out of the pen. It's just whatever reason, it ain't getting it done. He's missing arm side a lot. You know, the velocity, I think, is mostly consistently there, which is, I don't think, a big deal. It's just the big misses, right? It's an easy take a lot of the times. And when the shape on the slider's not real good and the split finger ain't really doing anything, how do you get dudes out? You basically don't. I mean, that's sort of those non-competitive pitches. It's just about right. And it's the play that you're watching on TV, right, where he gets real straight-legged and, you know, he's trying to tag out Benintendi instead of running over there and, you know, looking like an athlete, looking like he's done it before. That might be get back to that ninth inning, right? Everything's a little faster in the ninth inning. You know, we've talked about that till we can't talk about it anymore. Can he handle the ninth inning? I, for me, don't think it's that. I just think the stuff right now is not playing, and for whatever reason, he can't fix it. And I think that will help when Jimmy gets back, right? I think Jimmy's starting his, you know, whatever he needs to do to get back, which is, I think he's in Florida today. Maybe he's doing a rehab today, getting into games. So, you know, that'll help out when he gets back, and they can sort of, you know, again, Yariel, Jimmy, or Yariel Hoffman can get the sixth or the eighth inning, and whoever's in the ninth inning, you know, they've shown us they're not afraid to move it around. But right now, who else is it going to be? I mean, it's, you know, we had it lined out. Everybody was yelling and screaming about Bassett. Why'd you take him out? And then you finally find out he's, you know, he had allergies, he had the jelly leg.
That's actually I actually talked to people about this a couple of years ago. He did have, if you remember, basically an allergenic attack in a game, which if anybody's ever had really bad allergies, know what it's like. That's the second time that he's actually had, you know, used, not used as an excuse, but commented on.
Well, I think they knew before the game started that this, he basically said, I can give you between 80 and 90 pitches.
Yeah.
You know, and
you got to trust, and you got to trust those guys.
Again, I ask you, if it wasn't lined up the way it was lined up, where do you put Hoffman? You know, coming out of the seventh inning, it's a tie game. You're giving him the ball 1-1 facing 3-4-5 right now? No. You'd rather have Yariel doing the 3-4-5 thing. Now, if you want to yell and scream about him not coming out for the second inning, maybe. But again, it gets back to that. They know their players a little bit better than we do. The back-to-back day thing, mm-hmm. you know, the up-downs, how many times he's throwing in the pen, like all those things come into play when you're trying to get the best out of a guy all year. You know, it's not always about the game in June. It's about all year. So, you know, it's a topic of conversation. You know, everybody, it's real easy to yell and scream until you actually know the story. I think John did a good job of lining it up with who they were supposed to be facing, right? You get 3-4-5 from Yariel. You get 6-7-8 from Little. You know, Little screwed it up by walking the guy with two outs and then giving up a two-strike single. He screwed it up. Or Hoffman's getting 9-1-2.
Yeah.
So it just sort of, right? I mean, again, if Hoffman catches the ground ball like he's done it before and flipped it to the first baseman, we'd never be having this conversation. But he didn't. And I do think it's a topic of conversation, at least around the coaching staff, to try and figure out how to fix him. Just getting back to fastball command and the shape on the slider consistently just hasn't been there. How do you do that? I don't think they're worried about the ninth inning. I don't think they're so much worried and festering over the split finger. I mean, I don't think he's made an error since 2022, so he ain't really worried, you know, about the ninth inning and fielding his position and that thing, just the lights being too bright. At least I'm not. People that I've talked to, I don't think they are either. Just fastball command, I think. That's what it is, right? Once he gets back to locating that. You know, when he got off to the hot start early in the season, he was dotting the heater. And then you have to, you know, you had to respect that and follow him all around the strike zone. And then that's why he was getting more chase with the slider. He could get away with, you know, the hanging and the bad cement mixing slider, the split finger that rarely does anything. I mean, he hasn't really done anything all year.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, he just ain't finishing that pitch, whether it's arm slot. Looks to me like, anyway, and I haven't asked around, but sure looks to me like he's getting under it. You know, it might be fatigue a little, might be just, you know, when it ain't moving. That's sort of what John, I think, alluded to was, right, when it ain't doing something, you try and force it to break. You force it to, you know, be in the zone that you want it to be in. You force it to go 12-6 instead of just be mechanically sound, get it out there, finish it, trust your mechanics, trust what you've done in the past. Look, till they get Jimmy back, I don't know how this is a conversation. Do you?
No, I don't think there's any other option. I'm with you. You've got Yariel in a nice place right now.
He's locked in. Oh, man.
And everything about him, that's where you want him. Maybe down the road, you know, when Jimmy gets back, maybe he can start doing things a little different.
Not saying they'll never do it, but you got the ninth inning, and
now we're going to use him
the way we used to use you. I mean, will that fix his command? Will that fix his slider? I think it's more important you try and fix that than the inning he's throwing in. That's just me anyway.
Yeah, I'm just looking at Jeff Hoffman's workload this year compared to last year.
I mean, he pitched going into yesterday three times since June 10th.
Yeah.
It ain't like they've been abusing him the last 2 weeks. So that's not an excuse anymore, I don't think.
No, and I'm
just... And I think Hazel, leading after the game, was asking about the, you know, the rust of, you know, not being pitched to or being pitched so many times and in so many days. And he was basically like, it's not an excuse. It's my job to go out there and get people out. I mean, he's owning it. Again, it gets back to that fielding your position. You do that, get a little athletic. We ain't having this conversation. But I think it's totality of everything. You know, people got a little right, I think, to just say because of the payroll that they have. I mean, they're only five games above 500. I mean, everybody's got a little hand in what's going on with the Blue Jays, right? So,
yeah, look.
Let it play out a little bit.
They lost two of three to, as I said, the worst team in baseball. And
they scored three runs in the two losses.
Exactly.
Yeah. Vladdy's 1-for-10. Kirky was 1-for-8. I mean, I'm in the camp that I don't think Vladdy can carry your team for a month, but I've been 3 or 4 days. That's me. 3 or 4 days. I'm not saying I'm in the camp. That's just me. People got their own opinions. It's just going to be real tough for him. You know, just because, when you can be on time. I've been told that he's close and they think he's going to go off soon. I mean, he's pushing 300 at bats, Jeff.
Yeah.
I mean, just, you know, look at his takes. I say this, and I've been told this many times that I play with really good players who know how to hit. They always say, when I'm on time with my takes, my takes look exactly the way my good swings look. That means I'm locked in. When's the last time you saw Vladdy on time with his takes? Rare. That's what I said. So it's either he's looking for the wrong pitch and he's not on time with his lower half, or something's going on mechanically. But
yeah, and they also had, you know, they had a couple of outs at the plate and plays. There was the Barger play, the underhand toss on the, I don't know if you call it a potential double play ball, but that led to the White Sox first run. You're right. They're 500, and a lot of people have had a hand in that, both good and bad.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just thank goodness the American League's not
four games over.
Five games. Is it five games or four?
Four. Five. Sorry.
I'm trying to give them one. Is it five or four?
It's five. Can't read my own writing.
Potato, potato.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, they're in the second wild card. If I would have told you that all these things are going on and there's some unknowns with your closer, Tony Tater's nowhere to be found.
I would have said.
Parsons barely on the field. Yeah. Your rotation giving up more homers than anybody the first month and a half of the season. And you're securely in the second wild card spot. Huh?
You know what?
You'd take that every day, twice on Sunday.
Here's the thing, Kevin. If you had told me they were in the second wild card spot and didn't put any qualifiers on it, if you had just said to me, hey, Jeff, on June 23rd, the Jays are going to be in the second wild card spot, I think that's good.
Yeah,
that's fine.
And I forgot to say that, you know, Vladdy's been,
You get the sense from some of the, and we'll be joined by Shai Davidi later on. Maybe we'll do a deeper dive in this. Boy, it sure doesn't sound like John's thinking of that Anthony Santander is going to be back anytime soon, does it?
Yeah, I haven't. It just sure doesn't sound that way. I mean, they don't talk about him a ton. I think that's what it is. They want to make
John basically said yesterday that he's a little farther away than they thought.
Well, I think, you know, he is, you know, a little bit older. It takes sometimes a little bit longer. I think they want to make 100% sure that when he hits the ground, it is sprinting. It ain't jogging. It ain't moonwalking. It's sprinting. You know, because he didn't leave the best of ways, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, just mentally, physically, I think they want to make sure 1,000% that, you know, when he comes back, he can do things to help the lineup go to a different level. I think at least that's for me anyway. It does sound like when they get Varsho back, that'll be a big boost, right? I mean, it sounds to me like you've been saying this for a little while. You'd like to see him in a two-hole? I mean, yeah, why not? I mean, you know, Barger might be well better suited a little bit further down the lineup, make your lineup a little bit longer. You put that little bit more veteran presence who's been there and done it a little bit longer.
I mean, I don't mind leaving.
Two-hole. I don't either.
Quite but frankly, I don't mind leaving Barger in the two-hole.
Gives you more options. You can go with who you want to. I mean, I'm sure it's a bad path and what the guy's throwing.
Right.
And, you know, you're lining up. Whoever. Who cares? You know, I think it's just, you know, again, I don't know about you, but I'd love to see Max lie occasionally. I really would. I'm so tired of hearing the ongoing issue. Look, dude, you've been around a bazillion years.
I want to bring
Uncle.
Seriously. Yeah, I want to bring that up because there's a couple of things we want to talk about before we
don't lie.
Before we go to Shai.
I love when Bassett don't lie, but you lie. You pitched three innings with the Blue Jays. Yeah. Lie.
I always
you're the first ballot Hall of Famer.
I always think of Curtis Joseph. One time telling me, we had him in, Curtis Joseph, lovely man, but maybe one of the most boring interviews on the planet when he played. And he was in studio one time, and I asked him about that, and he said, I mean, I don't want to give away any weakness. I'd just rather bore the hell out of people to death and not let on to my teammates that I've got some lack of concern or I've got some concern. I'd just rather people don't know what I'm really thinking. And I thought, but there's something to be said for that. You know, like you don't always have to. Sometimes you could say, hey, you know, I feel good. I'm looking forward to my start. That's all you need. Max Scherzer apparently starting on Wednesday, but Kevin's right. I mean, we've all said the same thing. I think Max needs to understand that we all know that there's nothing guaranteed here. He could go out in the last five innings. He could go out in the last two. He could go out in the last five and have a sore thumb and not be able to make the next start. He could go out in the last five and the thumb is fine, just a little sore, and he'll make his next start. We get all that. We don't need him to walk us through the, you know, to create the drama about it. We get that. Just, I'm looking forward to the start. And, away you go. But yeah, I'm with you. I don't need the
figure out how to manage.
I mean, I don't need the whole I don't need the whole Shakespearean sonnet.
Now every freaking inning he's throwing now, every time he leaves the mound, you're thinking about more about the thumb. Is it okay for him to run out the next inning instead of going wild? You see how good the slider looked? And look at the change of speeds on the changeup and the heater. You're worried about that.
I'm not saying that that's not the reality of the situation. What I'm saying is we all get that. And maybe, you know, I mean, I'm going to give him credit. Maybe Max doesn't want to go out and crap the bed. You know, he's a prideful guy and all that. Well, but Max, we all get that. Like, we understand where this is. And just go out and do what you can do. No one's expecting you to go out and throw seven scoreless. If you do, great.
Yeah.
But trust me, I'm not, I'm quite often unrealistic about things. But man, I'm not. I want you to be healthy. I don't care. You can give me 4 2/3 and I'll give you a standing ovation. I just don't want to hear about the other stuff. I really don't want to hear about the other stuff.
It's like 4 seconds of how he pitched and 42 minutes of, you know, the I'm trying to work through it and I'm trying to prepare myself. And it's like, hey, dude, you've been around forever. You're a first ballot Hall of Famer. We get it. Like, every once in a while, I just want you to come out and go, I got this. Like, I figured it out. It'll go where as long as it goes. We're going to go out there and let that thing eat as long as I can let it eat. I feel bad about saying something about that
because he's a first Famer.
He is, but man alive.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned it.
Well, I was the only one. I'm glad I wasn't the only one that was thinking that when I heard it.
I've kind of mentioned about it in the past. Thought about it in the past. You know, we're used to Chris Bassett kind of doing.
Well, I like when
Bassett
does it.
And that's fine. I do because it's
swirly. I like it.
I like a little
bit
of swirly.
And he pitches every 5 days.
And he pitches every 5 days. Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's got the right to be swirly if he wants.
Yeah.
I love that word. But other than that, you know, just. Again, I think Max needs to realize that everybody understands what's going on here. None of us are gonna dump on Max or anything. I'm taking it as a positive that he's a prideful guy and he wants to contribute. But I kind of expected that from him because everything I heard about people from Max Scherzer is the dude wants to go out and pitch and the dude's a competitor. Anyhow, we'll talk to Shai about that. Kevin, Ernie Clement, I almost fell off the deck during the game when Ben Shulman dropped this on me, because I just didn't occur to me. He's 8th in the AL in hitting. This month, 20 days in, he's got an average of .373. That's second in the AL behind, just looking. Yandy Diaz is out of his mind, right? He's hitting over .400.
Mm-hmm.
Ernie's having a really good month.
Yeah, I think you got to give John credit. I mean, you could have taken him and stuck him in the two hole because of the way he does against lefties and that kind of thing. He hasn't done that. You know, it's more middle of the order towards the back end of the order. Give Ernie credit, right? I mean, the position thing doesn't bother him. That would bother a ton of people. I mean, we had John on here on Friday, and he was talking about, you know, with Addison going to right field and third base, how that was sort of a thing that they had to talk about and make sure he was okay with it.
Ernie can play all the infield.
And it doesn't miss a bit offensively, which is a big deal. The simple approach, the way he attacks fastballs all the time, he's hunting heater, dude, and adjust everything else. You wonder why he keeps the barrel in the zone against the breaking ball a lot? He hunts heater, and it's simple. He doesn't overthink it. Look at that. Yeah. I mean, if you're watching that on TV, right, he gets his foot down, he's athletic, he's tall, which is a big deal, allows him to cover north and south.
Might be the fastest dude in the team, too.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he's a really good base runner. He's a really good baseball player, which is he's got baseball IQ, which is a big deal. You want the ball hit to him. I'd love to have him up, bases loaded, and two outs, down a run. Mm-hmm. He's okay with that, right? So there's just a lot of things he does well. And, you give everybody, I think, credit when it comes to the organization not moving him around in the order. I mean, again, they sometimes will put him in the 5-hole, 6-hole, but mainly a little further.
I'm going to give the organization credit for hanging in with him. Because this guy was, you know, a couple of months away from being a journeyman. No disrespect. I mean, the guy's had a major league career.
Well, let's be real.
But he was a couple of months. But the point is, the organization, I mean, they found something in him. They stuck with him, and he's delivered. That's good.
Well, I think they had plans with him of being the fifth middle infielder. That would have made their team sort of the fullest. And then the guys are getting hurt. underperformance, that kind of thing. You got to move dudes around. You know, you can put him at second. You can give everybody days off. We play every single day. You can play third every day. You know, again, is that a guy going forward that you want playing third who don't hit a ton of homers? Not sure about that, but you're okay with him getting lots of playing time. I think that's the point, right? Just because of the way he can have velocity, because of how simple it is. Because if you can put him at first, you can put him at second, you can put him at short. He's got arm strength enough to throw the ball in the hole at shortstop and still get a guy out in the air, which is a big deal. He's got baseball IQ. I mean, I'm sure John likes writing his name in the lineup, which is kind of cool. Just, you know, it's a fun thing to have a guy who's earned it. You know, now when everybody gets healthy and gets back, he's one of the last guys you take out of the lineup. Yeah. And give Ernie all the credit. I mean, Ernie sort of, you know, has made adjustments. This is what the league's all about, right? When everybody knows that you like the heater and they start flipping it to you, you got to still stick with the plan. You can still look heater and hit the breaking ball, right? Even if they're wanting to throw you a bunch of breaking balls. I sort of love that too. And the approach is simple. It's repeatable. In 2025, you got to have a lower half that's repeatable. It keeps your posture where it should be, and it allows your hands to travel in the right areas. That's why he's able to cover above his helmet, which is just awesome to watch. So, yeah, give him credit. I mean, it starts with the player for me. Mm-hmm. The player's got to force the manager and the organization's hand, and he's done enough now that when everybody gets back, he's in the lineup regardless.
No, without awesome. Question.
Oh, that's awesome.
And you know, we've talked about how, I mean, he's one of the reasons that I think ultimately the Jays will be able at the trade deadline to focus on pitching, you know, because we've said they, would you like to have a, I was going to say an air quotes everyday third baseman, maybe, but Ernie, I don't think Ernie Clement at third base prevents you from winning a playoff series. I just don't. It's certainly defensively. He's just solid, man. That's the only word I can say, solid. Like, I don't care when the ball's hit to him. I don't mind him coming up in a big situation. I just never feel, I always feel that he's capable, sounds maybe weird. I just feel like he's capable of delivering in the moment.
Yeah, it's fair. I think because,
you know, he's going to make the play where he's going to, I'm going to get some sort of outcome from him.
Yeah, he's a big leaguer. I think he's sort of now all of a sudden everybody knows he's a big leaguer. I mean, he was sort of on the fence for a little while of who is he, what can he bring? Do you really care if he's in the lineup every single day? Now he has to be. And Jimenez, seriously, something's got to give there. I know all about the defense. I don't care about that.
Yeah,
I mean, if I can put Ernie at second base and get the offense, I'm going to do that. Jimenez, for me, needs to figure it out offensively. It's almost getting to the point where, because of the lack of offense from him, I'm not real sure going into next year if you have to give up Bo, he's the dude that plays short for you every day. Can't have a .180 hitter. I mean, them pitches that he's getting are center cut, dude. Something's going on there that they need to figure out. I know he's hitting at the bottom of the lineup. Give him credit. I know he's made adjustments with his lower half to just sort of give himself a chance to beat the guy to the spot with the lower half. You're watching on TV, stride separating. He'll do the little knee turn like he's in between a ton. I don't like the stride separate because that kills momentum. I mean, nobody's saying he can't play defense. He's one of the better defenders at second base in baseball. But man alive, Jeff, like,
yeah,
you got to hit somewhere above. You can't hit below the Mendoza line and be an everyday player, can you? Not on a team that's dropped 250 large.
I was going to say you can, but
if Vladdy's doing special things, Bo's doing special things, and Tony comes back and is stomping things, you can make up for that. But when they ain't, and he's coming up in spots where you need some hits and he's doing the things he ain't doing, I think you got to think about that. Like, I mean, the playing time for me, because of the way Ernie's doing things and the way you like Barger at third and the way those two guys are doing things offensively, it is all about scoring runs.
Dalton Varsho comes back, there's going to have to be a move made. No, I'm not talking about a roster move, but I'm saying Dalton Varsho comes back. You want to keep Addison Barger in the lineup? He's probably going to go to third, maybe, depending, you know, what you want to do with George. You want to just DH George all the time? I mean, there's a possibility that Ernie ends up back at second base at some point. And
if it's about winning,
it's hard to make the case right now, as good as Jimenez is defensively. And I still think that really matters in this pitching staff. as good as he is defensively, you are right, though. You need to be able to contribute something offensively. I mean something, because right now we're at the point where he's not contributing anything offensively.
You know, sometimes when you're a buck 90 hitter, you don't look like a buck 90 hitter.
He looks like a buck 90
hitter. He looks like a buck 90 hitter.
Yeah.
And that's no bueno.
No.
And I know they're trying to make adjustments and get him right mentally, because I've talked to enough people that think that, you know, just that lower half sort of change would just allow the hands to be a little freer and sort of have a little more buggy whip to the barrel. Does it look that way? Just that little clip that we were showing there, does it look like he can beat a dude to the spot? He's getting beat with 88 middle.
Yeah, that's not good.
I mean, that's never a good thing. I know he's a good kid,
okay,
but man, alive.
43 years old, but...
I mean, something's got to give there.
Shai Davidi will join us in a few minutes. We've got Jay's tickets to give away. Jensen Lewis will be along. And Kyle Peterson, college baseball analyst for ESPN, joins us. The College World Series was, I mean, you like chaos. The College World Series was your place. You like chaos and umpires throwing folks out. The College World Series really, really was the place to be this weekend. Anyhow, we'll talk all about that. Shai Davidi's next. It's Blair and Barker on Sportsnet 590, The Fan and Sportsnet.
Dive deep into Toronto sports and the NFL. The J.D. Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, you know you want you some Jays Yankees tickets.
I do.
Barker does.
Yeah,
I do too. So we've got a chance later on in the show for you to win tickets to see the Jays and Yankees for June 30th.
Ooh.
The Rogers Center.
You know what I'm going to say?
All of the series of the year?
Of the Guardians.
Yeah.
You know the Guardians are tied with Seattle for that third wild card spot. They're only, I think, a game and a half behind the Blue Jays.
Series.
It's the biggest one of the year for
no,
me.
No, the next one is. Boston is.
Mm-mm.
Oh, yeah,
this
Boston.
This is it. I think there's three in a row coming up.
Now Boston's a big series, man. You want to keep the Red Sox behind you. You want to, yeah.
I think they want to be in that second wild card. They don't want to be in that third one.
Anyhow, as Mr. Barker points out, a three-game series against the Guardians begins tomorrow. The Jays then go on to Boston, and then it's the dreaded New York Yankees.
Oh, no. It's the American League.
The team that terrifies Barker. The Yankees will be here at the Rogers Center.
You're funny.
That's true. So it's an off day for the Jays today. No off day for us. And we're going to spread the grief around by bringing in Shai Davidi of Sportsnet.
Oh, look at
that. Look at that.
Man.
Jeez.
That's it.
You well, got a little iced tea happening?
Is what you do. No.
Little iced tea happening? No?
No, not yet. It's not yet.
Man.
It's beautiful out.
Getting ready for the drive to Cleveland, actually.
Oh, there you go. You're going to stop at the Applebee's and what the hell's a place?
No idea.
No.
No.
Oh, Griffin and I used to stop at an Applebee's.
How far is that?
It's about 5 hours.
Oh, you like to drive? You like to drive?
I don't mind it. I've got to get back fast because my son is graduating from high school.
There you go.
This week, and there was no way for me to get back in time without driving.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be juggling a little bit in the next few days.
Very cool.
So
congratulations.
Congratulations, man.
Awesome,
the nest is getting empty slowly.
Yeah. Slowly.
Okay. Well, life begins. Life begins once your kids leave home. Trust me. Anyhow, speaking of, boy, I've got no segue for that, so I won't even bother going there. What's your level of concern with Jeff Hoffman? And I guess more to the point, Shai, from spending time around the team, what do you think the honest level of concern is with Jeff Hoffman as far as he's concerned, John Schneider's concerned, and Pete Walker?
I don't know if it's significant. I think what happens is when you're a closer, any little hiccup you have really shows up, right? There's no masking a bad inning if you're the closer, because usually it ends up in a loss. And Hazel and I caught up with him after the game yesterday, and it was kind of interesting. I kind of said to him, like, what are you sort of working on, or what are your focuses on? And he feels that his swing and miss is down a little bit, and to be frank, I haven't checked the numbers just yet, but he feels like he's not getting quite the same level of swing and miss as he was earlier in the year. And of course, when you don't get swing and miss, then you can have things where a little bleeder up the first base line, you know, slides under your glove because you're rushing to make a play, and all of a sudden an inning unravels. So I still look at him converting 17 of 21 saves and the level of dominance that we've seen at points this season. And I think that it's not major cause for concern. But this is someone who is in a role where there's very little margin for error. And so, you know, there is some degree of, hey, let's get this figured out ASAP, just because of how important he is.
Okay, with that being said, what if he gives it up, say, game one against the Guardians? Would Yario get the ball in game two in the ninth inning?
I don't think so right now. I mean, unless it's a workload thing, right, where he's throwing too many pitches and he's unavailable. But, you know, especially considering how long Jimmy Garcia has been out, Yariel's emergence has been one of the sort of sneakily quiet but important stories for this team, you know, help giving manager John Schneider another sort of weapon in the bullpen to utilize there. But, you know, I think the Blue Jays are relieved that they've got some options, but I don't think they're running away from Jeff Hoffman. I mean, it would be very surprising for them to run away from him in that way, unless it was a workload issue.
Kevin and I were talking a little earlier about Max Scherzer, who is starting on Wednesday against the Guardians.
Why are you laughing, John?
I can't imagine why.
Well, yeah, it's just, you know.
Lie, Shy. That's all I want you to do. Every once in a while, lie to me. That's all.
Not you.
No, not you, Shy. Like,
we
the Hall of Famer.
Say, I feel fine. I'm good to go. Let's light it up.
Lie.
Boom. Go ahead.
I think that it's really interesting because you're mentioning that. Like, he's really at the point where it's just, we're going to see what it is. Like, either I can do this or I can't. And so it really adds a fascinating dynamic to the series because, like, if he comes out of that and he's okay, then all of a sudden the direction for this team feels a lot different than if it goes badly on Wednesday and he can't get through three innings or something.
Yeah, it's all kidding aside, it's an important start for the Jays because it could answer a lot of questions about the rotation. It you know, I think we're kind of, for now at least, comfortable with Eric Lauer getting the other
absolutely
turn. And that's, you know, if Max Scherzer can give you even a little bit, you're probably fine with that. You know, because, you know, pretty much, you know, what Berríos and Bassett and maybe to a certain degree Gausman are going to give you, although I would think Gausman might be a little bit of a concern right now. But I mean, as we've said, Shy, these guys, they're getting up in innings, they're getting up in the number of pitches thrown in their careers, and I just kind of assume there are going to be stretches where one of them isn't going to be that good, and then they'll be fine, and then they won't be that good, and then they'll be fine again. I think that's just the way it's going to go with older guys.
I don't think that's unreasonable. But, you know, I think the way to look at Max right now, so, you know, with Lauer essentially taking over that bullpen spot, Max is kind of sliding into the Bowden Francis slot. And as long as he can continue to post, and that's really the big question, I think that from a performance perspective, you're definitely getting better than the 6 ERA that Bowden Francis had on offer to this point. And even just by doing that and having a little bit of stability there, you're getting a couple gains. Plus, you know, if you look at Max Scherzer's stuff in that Worcester outing, like, he was holding his velocity throughout the 75 pitches. He was up above 94. There were a lot of 93s there too. All the other stuff seemed to be working. Obviously, he got a ton of strikeouts in that game. Like, the stuff is there. It's all about, can he recover? Is he able to physically hold up? And that's what's, to me, sort of uncomfortable from a Blue Jays perspective, because, like, it's tantalizing. You see it right there. And if he's able to recover after this outing and then go again the next time around, then it makes it so much easier. And I thought it was really interesting after the game yesterday to hear Bassett talk about how much that having – not having that bullpen day, not having that uncertainty of the rotation a little bit would help him and Berríos and Gausman because of how much extra work essentially they've had to carry to help fill the load there. I really think that for those reasons. It's I don't want to, you know, amplify too much or blow it up too much, but it does feel like a bit of a hinge outing, because if it goes well, that's one direction for the Blue Jays. And if it doesn't go well and he can't physically do it again afterwards, then it really does feel like, okay, that's a clear need that the Blue Jays have to find a way to address.
Shai, were you a little surprised when John Schneider spoke about how far behind Anthony Santander seems to be? Maybe I'm reading too much into his comments, but I get the impression that when he went down, the Jays thought it would be a little faster than this. Maybe I'm misreading that, but I don't think I am.
Yeah, no, I mean, John Schneider said as much, that, you know, the thought that initially they, you know, it's not that they got the read wrong. They just thought the pace of recovery would be maybe a bit faster. And, you know, especially considering that he played through it for a period of time, and maybe with the gift of hindsight, looking back, maybe that wasn't the best call, but, you know, here we are. So the fact that as of when we get that update, Friday or Saturday, that he hadn't started swinging a bat yet, I think that's not ideal, because you're probably going to be at least two and a half weeks once you start swinging a bat. And at this point, it doesn't really feel like he's on track to get back before the All-Star break. So maybe it's come back after the All-Star break, so we can hit the ground running from there on. But, you know, this is you're looking for probably 30, 35 homers out of Santander this season. Mm-hmm. And at this point, if you can get to, you know, 20, I think that would be tremendous for the Blue Jays, and probably all they could do to ask for that. So, you know, one of the things is they've had a lot of guys who weren't supposed to carry them to this point. You know, you're starting to see the best of Bo. You're starting to see Vlad pick it up. You know, those guys are going to help carry this club for a stretch of time. But, you know, Santander probably needs to be a part of that at some point. So, this has gone on far longer, I think, than was initially anticipated. But, you know, this is a spot the Blue Jays find themselves in now.
What do they do with Jimenez at second base offensively?
Great question. I think that as long as other guys are hitting, then it's not a glaring issue. But they're trying to get him back to, you know, one of the reasons that they took on the deal in the offseason, they believed that they could get him back closer to being, you know, the offensive player he was during that All-Star season in 22. Even if he's just who he was in 23, when you combine that to the defense, I mean, that's a difference-making player. So, you know, he at least for a period of time, you know, it's starting to look better now, but it looked like he was still recovering from the quad a little bit when he came back. I'm wondering if that's, you know, maybe a factor a little bit, but, you know, the offensive trajectory, it hasn't been there. But I don't know that there's an alternative. Like, the defense is so dynamic, the base running is so dynamic, some of the other elements that he brings to the table, that he's still contributing, even if it's not hitting. But, you know, the Blue Jays, again, you know, they were keeping some more offensive performance for
him. Shai, when everybody gets healthy, Ernie's got to play every day, right?
I think Ernie will find his way into the lineup on a regular basis. Look, I mean, all he's done is hit. Like, what are you going to do, right? He's clearly earned it. And, you know, I remember talking to him in the spring, where this was the first time in a lot of years, and even though he wasn't taking it this way, where he came into camp and his spot on the roster was assured. And, you know, that was, you know, for him, not an accomplishment, but, you know, a very different feeling. And now it's gotten to the point where, like, yeah, I mean, how are you taking him out of the lineup? So, look, the Blue Jays can configure their roster, or their lineup, in a number of different ways because of the positional flexibility. You know, Addison Barcher comes to mind. You know, he's a third baseman. He's an outfielder. You can do some different things with him. Ernie can obviously play all around the diamond. I think it's interesting that you're starting to see him get some reps at first on days when Vladdy's got a DH to get some rest there. So there are a number of ways for the Blue Jays to keep getting him into the lineup. And, you know, I don't see that going away once, you know, Santander is back.
Mm-hmm. Shai, really good of you to join us today. Thanks so much. We're going to let you go and enjoy the rest of the afternoon.
Yeah,
and
it looks so nice.
Safe drive to Cleveland. And again, congratulations on your son's grad. And
absolutely.
Pass on our congrats to him. I know it's a moment of pride for a family when that happens.
Yeah.
So well done.
See you, buddy.
Cool. Yeah. Appreciate it, guys. Have a great one.
Yeah, you too.
Shai Davidi, our MLB insider with Sportsnet. So yeah, it's he's right. Ernie's going to find it. John will find a spot for Ernie as long as he continues to be one of the top hitters in the American League.
I wonder what's going on at second base. I think that's one of the things, right? Can Barger continue to be competitive offensively? That's another thing, right? I mean, it looks just to me like Ernie has sort of found his sweet spot when it comes to game planning and the simple little mechanical approach that he has when it keeps the, you know, the foot just gets down on time. And, you know, because he has a nice little smooth, effortless bat path, he'll most of the time get to north and south, which is kind of what he's trying to do. So, yeah, it's – you know, again, this is why I said this is a pretty big series. This is going to tell them where they're at. I mean, they got a bunch of hard throwers, the Guardians do. There's some dudes in this lineup who don't like the fastball a lot.
No, that is...
You know, and I'm going to be looking at Vladdy. Like, you know, there a lot of people that tell me that are around Vladdy a lot says that sort of his mechanics are geared up to what he's looking for. If he's sitting soft, it'll look slow. If he's looking the heater, it'll look like he's a little bit more on time. I don't know how you can have a complete year trying to do that. I'm told he can, and he's about to take off, so we'll see. But the Guardians know how to pitch people. They know what dudes' weaknesses are. And all you had to do is watch the couple of hard throwers from the White Sox throw Vladdy, and it's pounding in. It's hard and soft away. So there's some guys, right? I mean, that hopefully will take a step forward, and there's never been a more time, better time than Vladdy. Just sort of have that 3 or 4 game span, especially here who about they're about to face. That, you know, you can do some things, help your lineup and win some baseball games.
Yeah, it, it'll be, I hesitate to call any series a big series, but it will be an interesting series. And 41-36 could set you up for a nice finish going in.
Or it could put pressure on you, right? I mean, you get swept there, you're 2-over, you're going into the Red Sox, you're going to play the Yankees, like... I mean, right now, right? I mean, it ain't about playing 500 anymore. It's about
what would be a good Scherzer outing for you? What would
five,
be a good...
five scoreless?
Yeah,
I mean, like the Guardians got the best of lineups.
Yeah,
you know, you ain't pitching forever. I mean, it seemed to me like he's punching out everybody in the minor leagues. I mean, it ain't really no different in the minor leagues. I know the velocity. And he talked about the heart rate.
I mean,
it's
like. Well, I mean,
it's
I
like
think
the first game.
I do kind of understand that. I kind of think if you're a veteran, I mean, if you're a guy who's been around, I got to think making a rehab start is just a colossal pain in the ass.
Yeah, but it was like he had a checklist of, oh, the heart rate's going to go up. Now I got to worry about my thumb more. I got to throw more sliders or off speed pitches in the big leagues. I got to worry about my thumb more. First ballot Hall of Famer. If you don't know how to control your heart rate by now.
I mean, say this. He doesn't want to raise expectations.
I mean, I'm not saying by any means that I'm not a big fan of his, because I am.
It's better
but
to.
But it's got
to
be a little that where you just got to take a step back and go, they pay me 15 large.
Better to under.
To
under,
do some things.
Better to under promise and over deliver.
Yeah, it's the Barkers of the world, not first ballot Hall of Famers. Barkers of the world did that. Couldn't wait for somebody to stick a microphone in my face. Me be like, tamper it down a little. I'm only going to give you what I can give you, okay? I'm only one person. I'm only human. If I was a first ballot Hall of Famer, I'd be like, boy, you guys lucky to see me on Wednesday. I'm fired up.
We haven't talked about the we talked a little bit about Chris Bassett. Didn't talk about Jose Berrios' start on Saturday. Now, again, I know that it's the Chicago White Sox. But what did you make of Berrios in that start?
Yeah, I think that's sort of what we expected. I mean, you know, coming off what it looked like before in Turnbull, it looked like he'd never thrown a baseball before.
That was,
yeah, and you needed a guy to come out and give you, you know, 7+, which is exactly what it did. Now, his velocity was a little erratic, and sometimes the, you know, the sequencing and just, you know, how many times he's trying to throw a certain pitch in a game to sort of balance it out where it's very hard for them to go up and game plan against certain pitches in certain locations. That's on point. That's always on point. You know, the movement into lefties was a big deal, the front hip two-seamer, the elevated cutter. I know he threw a few more cutters. Yeah, I mean, it's exactly what the doctor ordered. Him and Kirky were on the same page. You know, you do whatever it takes because you know what's going on around you and you know how much your team needs you. And that's why you pay dudes gobs of money to go out and do things that are special.
See, that's why
that's what he did, no matter who the team is.
That's why you asked a couple of days ago about who gets a start for you in a playoff game. And I agree with you.
Game one.
To me, it's Berríos because I know what I'm going to get from him. I know the minimum I'm going to get from him.
Well, you got score runs.
Yes, but I know what he's capable of doing that.
Let me ask you a question. Since you brought it up.
All right.
This rotation good enough to win a series? Who is it? You might have to get the Guardians. You'd have to get you have to go to Seattle or Seattle come here. Good enough?
They're good enough for a short series. I think they are.
You know, we haven't seen it. And they're a year older. I mean, boy,
A lot depends on who you're facing, too.
Again, it's a lot depends on Hoffman figuring it out. Jimmy Garcia getting back and getting healthy. Tony coming back and doing something. And Vladdy's starting to, quite frankly, live up to it. It's those three or four game spans where
it's going to come. It's going to come. You know that.
They're 300 bets in.
You're pushing the panic button with Vladdy, man.
It ain't panic. I hold him to a higher standard than everybody else in that lineup. Say something clever until I find a stat. Bo Bichette hitting .419 with runners in scoring position at 6-for-14 with 4 RBIs against the worst team in the American League, and you see Vladdy go 1-for-10 with an RBI, and because he hit a home run up 3 runs, I'm sorry. I'm not being hard on him. I'm just telling the truth that nobody else wants to tell. That's all. And I expect more from him because he has more talent than anybody on that team.
He probably expects more from himself.
And anybody almost other than a couple of guys in the American League. I mean, there's a couple of guys for me that are a little bit better. But then there's Vladdy. That's all. I'm not saying anything that other people are not thinking. No. I'm just the only one, unlike somebody else in this room, that has enough, you know what, to say it out loud. That's all. You'd like to see, you know, again,
I have confidence in him. What can I say? You're criticizing me because I have confidence in him.
It ain't 2 weeks at a time. It's 3 or 4 days in a row. That's all. That's it.
I got confidence in him, man.
I'm going to ask you another question.
Here we go. Yes.
Why are you asking me questions that don't make any sense? So I'm going to ask you
What do you mean don't
one.
Make any sense?
Bases loaded and 2 outs down a run. But where's he at in the pecking order?
Right now, I'd rather have Bo. I'd rather have Kirk.
If first ain't your right answer, then you should be a little hard on him. That's my point.
All right.
That's my point. I expect that dude to do special things. And everybody else does, too. It's not like I'm talking out of turn here, not saying things that aren't true. He's deep enough into the season now that it should look a little different. That's all.
300 bats, yes.
It should look,
you are
a, little,
right.
it
you
should
are
look
right.
a little different.
You are
all.
Right.
Because that dude's good, man. Is he great? Jury's still out on that. But he's really good. Really, really good. And I'm sure if you sort of pushed a coach or two in the corner, it was like,
maybe. Oh. No, I think you're right. I just assume that there is going to come that time. Enough faith in the guy that there will come that time where he will go off, and that's just the way it is.
We've been down this road before where we've seen it look the way it looked the first 2 months of the season, and all of a sudden.
So let me ask you this. Does he look better this year than he did last year early?
No.
Really? You don't think he's walking more, isn't he? Like I don't care. All right. I'm asking. I think he looks better this year than he did last year.
Like against the White Sox, this is just me. Call me crazy.
I'm not calling
a couple of times against the White Sox, looks to me like he's trying to walk.
Ooh.
That's just me. That's all I'm saying.
Wow, that opens a
can
of worms there.
No. Pass the baton. Isn't that what we've been told by every coach? Pass the baton. Don't be afraid.
Speaking of passing the baton,
I want you to take down and away.
Here comes Jensen Lewis. We're going to pass the baton to Jensen Lewis next. It's Blair and Barker on Sportsnet 590, The Fan and Sportsnet.